Haskell, Brother, and Sister. St. Helena, California, September 23, 1901. Dear Brother and Sister Haskell, I have received and read your letter. Today I had an interview with Elder Loughborough in regard to his going to Australia. I told him that it appeared to me that we were sending too many from the home field. I told him that the churches needed the work that he could do. I advised him to delay his journey and work for a while in the churches, encouraging and comforting them, and setting things in order. We see the need of the help of old, experienced laborers who have been connected with the work almost from its beginning, whose experience in it dates nearly from the passing of the time in 1844. We need the help of men who can testify, as did John, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. 1 John 1, verse 3. Brother Haskell, as you engage in the work in New York, you should have the help of the best workers that can be secured. Let a center for God's work be made in that wicked city. The beginning of the work may be small, but let all that you do be a symbol of the work the Lord desires to see done in the world. To start medical missionary work in New York will be the best thing that you can do. I have been shown that if, in this work, there could be men and women of experience who would give a correct representation of true medical missionary work, it would have great power in making a correct impression on the people. The time has come to make decided efforts in places where the truth has not yet been proclaimed. The great centers of our work, Battle Creek and Oakland, have been glutted, as it were, with ministerial labor. In these places, there has been a superabundance of religious advantages. God's people have had great light, but how feeble have been their efforts to walk in the light. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 19, 20. How shall the Lord's work be done? In every place that is entered, a solid foundation is to be laid for permanent work. The Lord's methods are to be followed. It is not for you to be intimidated by outward appearances, however forbidding they may be. It is for you to carry forward the work as the Lord has said that it should be carried forward. Preach the word, and the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, will send conviction to the minds of the hearers. The word is, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16, verse 20. The other workers are to act their part, doing house-to-house work, giving Bible readings in families. They are to show their growth in grace by their submission to the will of Christ. Thus they will gain a rich experience. As in faith they receive, believe, and obey Christ's words, the efficiency of the Holy Spirit will be seen in their life work. There will be seen an intensity of earnest effort. There will be cherished faith that works by love and purifies the soul. The fruit of the Spirit will appear in the life. Christ is the light of the world. Those who follow him do not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John declares of Christ, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." John 1, verse 12. Behold Christ. Beholding him brings mind and heart and character into conformity to the will of God. Thus, man is enabled to follow Christ's example. He sees that his faults must be overcome, and that his appetites and passions must be subjected to God's will, that he must be a partaker of the divine nature, having overcome the corruption that is in the world through lust. The convicted sinner, having repented for his transgression of God's law, strives earnestly to overcome sin. He seeks to reveal the power of Christ's grace, and he is brought into personal touch with the Savior. Constantly, he keeps Christ before him. Denying self and lifting the cross, he follows the Redeemer from grade to grade of perfection. Praying, believing, receiving the blessings he needs, he comes nearer and nearer to God's standard for him.
Christ is our example, our inspiration, our exceeding great reward. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. God is the master builder, but man has a part to act. He is to cooperate with God. We are laborers together with God. Verse 9. Never forget the words, together with God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verse 12-13. The miracle-working power of Christ's grace is revealed in the creation in man of a new heart, a higher life, a holy enthusiasm. God says, "A new heart also will I give you." Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Is not this renewal of man the greatest miracle that can be performed? What cannot the human agent do who by faith takes hold of divine power? He loves the Lord Jesus with his whole heart, and Christ becomes his wisdom, his righteousness, his sanctification, and his redemption. Remember that working with Christ as your personal Savior is your strength and your victory. This is the part all are to act. To those who do this comes the assurance, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." John 1, verse 12. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He declares, "Without me ye can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. And the repenting, believing soul responds, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Philippians 4, verse 13. Christ is the sympathetic, compassionate Redeemer. In his sustaining power, men and women become strong to resist evil. As the convicted sinner looks at sin, it becomes to him exceeding sinful. He wonders that he did not come to Christ before. New virtues are revealed in his character as he denies self and lifts the cross, following where Christ leads the way. Christ has given his commission. "Go ye into all the world." Mark 16, verse 15. All must hear the message of warning. A prize of richest value is held up before those who are running the Christian race. Those who run with patience will receive a crown that fadeth not away. There is need of all the instruction that our missions can give. Under the direction of God, you have started the mission in New York. Continue in your work in the power of the same Spirit that led in its establishment. By opening the Scriptures, by praying, by exercising faith, educate the people in the way of the Lord. And in Greater New York, there will be built up a church founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. The work must be carried forward in the simplicity of truth. God says, "I have words of encouragement for you." The Lord has in Greater New York many precious souls who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And he has those who have worshipped Baal ignorantly. On these the light of truth is to shine, that they may see Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Carry forward your work in humility. Never rise above the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. If Elder Franke will humble his heart before God, he will be successful in giving the invitation given by him who, though the majesty of heaven, humbled himself to take the position of a servant. But Elder Franke must carry his work forward solidly, not in ways that are not after God's order. This is his danger. In the past, extravagance and display have attended his labors. These should be exchanged for right methods. He should work in Christ's lines, pointing souls to the Savior. The work in Greater New York is to be done after Christ's order, not after the order of a theatrical performer. It is not a theatrical performance that glorifies God, but the presentation of truth in the love of Christ. No human being is to seek to bind other human beings to himself as if he were to control them, telling them to do this and forbidding them to do that, commanding, dictating, acting like an officer over a company of soldiers. This is the way that the priests and rulers did in Christ's day. But it is not the right way. After the truth has made an impression on hearts, and men and women have accepted the truth, they are to be treated as the property of Christ, not as the property of man. Elder Franke must remember this. His words of forbidding and commanding are contrary to the example Christ has given. If those who accept the truth under Elder Franke's labors follow his example, refusing to hold fellowship with those who do not do just as they do, they will need a reconversion. There must be no wrangling, no strife among the people of God. There must be no binding up in separate parties. No minister is to say, "I will have a church who will do my bidding, who will be ruled by my wisdom." Those who are truly converted will press together in Christian unity. There is to be no division in the Church of God. No unwise authority is to be exercised over those who accept the truth. The meekness of Christ is to appear in all that is said and done. From the light given me, I know that when Elder Franke hides self in Christ, when he is converted daily, he will be a successful laborer for God, and God will bless him as long as he works in the meekness and lowliness of Christ.